hallelujah. Could you lift those hands up just one more time, right? Hallelujah, Father. I worship you and glorify you. I magnify and exalt you. What do you think he meant when he said ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God and the Father? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 5. When you lift those hands and start worshiping him, who are you ministering to? You think, well, I'm ministering to God. You're also ministering to yourself. See? Can you imagine if you worshiped him 5 or 6 hours straight privately? Ministering to yourself. What in the world would that do to you? You better watch out. See, when he talked about going on, you know, and ministering to yourself, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Meaning, you know, when you're drunk on wine, and you're not evaluating things in the light they exist in. And you might be Arnold Schwarzenegger sitting out at the end of the bar, nobody can whip you. And then Wally Cox comes in. He thinks he can whip you because he's not evaluating things in the light they exist in. But he's about to wake up. See? But when you're drunk on not wine wherein it exists, be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, he's insinuating that you're kind of not evaluating things in the light they exist in. That's right. Not in the negative light. You're not evaluating why the mountain won't move anymore. You're saying, I get it. I get it. How can that mountain help but move? Huh, it has to move. Well, in this world, you're drunk. Ministering to yourself in psalms and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are you thanking him for? Ooh. Hey, when I look at that big ugly mountain, I'm not evaluating things in the light they exist in. It's not big and it's not ugly anymore. Why? Because you're drunk. See, because in reality, if you keep worshiping like that, you're going to have a baptism of your senses. That baptism of your senses is to where things that used to be impossible, they just, you can't evaluate them as impossible anymore. And the baptism of your geography is just great. You know, that's when other people begin to be affected by just you coming in the room. See, there's something different about you, they said to Wigglesworth as they repented when they walked by. Yes? Yeah. Hallelujah. So, throw those hands up. You can. It works when your body's crooked in a chair. Just so your arms are up, you know. That's what analytical means. Antenna-alytical. And he loves it when, you know, I can sing a song and, you know, oh, how I love Jesus. They're leading me. The music's going, oh, how I love Jesus. And I'm looking across the aisle and say, that's the dumbest outfit I've ever seen. Then when I'm doing the words, you know, hey, I want you to know I love you, and you got to keep thinking of other ones, you know. Glory, hallelujah, I love you. And pretty soon you tap into that part that does, and then it starts feeding it. Boy, you get in. You get in.
What do you think's a good antidote for an impossible problem?
Laugh a lot. Worship God. Devil says, I'm just really getting tired of you laughing. Don't you know what I've done? There's a big problem out here. React, react. Besides that, I'm going to kill you. What do you think about that? You can do that when you're 67. Maybe not right now. But. Hallelujah. Oh, now you're qualifying. He loves a joyful giver. Finally, you qualify to give. Why don't you ask him? When you ask him what he wants you to give, why don't you get involved with the answer? Helps when you're not afraid, you have no fear, you love God. It helps. So why don't you just kind of raise those hands for a minute again? I like those. the untanic hands. Raise them for a minute and let him settle in on you. And you know it. If somebody's doing something else and they kind of ask me a half their question because they're busy, but they knew they have to ask me, that doesn't work too well on me. You want to involve yourself with him? Ask him. You don't really ask him. You know, the kind you ask when you really want to get involved with something. What do you want me to give this morning? Then just listen. Just listen. All right. Boy, I'm just hearing a big unanimous all at once. What was that again? They all want an envelope. You want an envelope? Raise your hand. Ushers will get you one. Hallelujah. Do you know another calling that's going to give himself fully to it, that's coming forward, is what would we call it? We would know it as the entrepreneurs of the kingdom. And he called it a different name. When the gifts were listed, he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles, prophets, teachers. And the next two workings of miracles and gifts of healings, and left pastor and evangelist out, because really the entry level of fivefold is supposed to be the fullness of healing and miracles. Eh? So he just included them in the gifts of healings and workings of miracles. And he put healings above even the creative miracles, because listed in priority. That the healing gift is two anointings. It doesn't just include the physical anatomy, but extends to the strongholds and destruction that's taken place in your soul over a lifetime. Do you think he can do a miracle in the natural? What makes you think he can't do one? So it was healings plural. Plural. Because he likes to go in and do that too. And we saw the first wave of that for the last 5 years. Sure not the full wave. So gifts of healings, workings of miracles, then he lists helps, governments. And he gave a whole office to just tongues. The last one was the diversities of tongues. Diversities, because there's four different diversities, you know. Tongues for edification, you know, tongues for interpretation. Tongues for the deep groanings at the intercessions, and tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. Tongues as a sign to the unbeliever equips you to preach on any language on the face of this earth you had no previous knowledge of. Tremendous gift. That one's happened to me about 12 times. Once in Canada when I spoke French. I don't even know how you can say those words. But I could that day. Half the church ran up. I must have said something. In Spanish. Spanish. Called this little gal out and I told her everything was wrong with her. And she's going, see, man of God, yes, see. But she didn't understand a word I said. So I stood back and I just prayed in tongues all of a sudden thinking I'm going to interpret it, you know. I didn't. No interpretation came. I was going, do I have to make this one up? Then she said something to me in Spanish. I thought maybe tongues. And then I answered her. Well, after that I prayed and she fell down on the floor. And then she got up, she's healed, but then somebody told me what happened. She's speaking Spanish. I was telling her what was wrong with her in Spanish, and then she asked me a question and I answered it. I wish, you know, I'm going to ask for a raise if I keep getting left out. Then on TV, once on TV, spoke in German. German. The host was sitting there. He looked really dignified. I looked like I was beginning. And we know that the great celestial go between the troubled waters of mankind and the omnipotent God. What am I going to say? So all of the sudden tongues busted out, and while it busted out, I was watching him out of the corner of my eye, and I'm thinking, it'll be okay, I'm going to interpret. When I got done, no interpretation came. What'd you do? Just sat there. He seemed to, he just went on. Then we got a call from a German lady who spoke German, lived in a German community. This is near Sacramento. Said she was sick and suffering dearly. And we addressed her on the television and told her what to do. And when she did it, she's absolutely healed and called in and had to get somebody that could translate what she was saying. That's a couple of times, even Japanese once. You see, that one gifting, we've got a whole one office calling for it, like apostle, a prophet, a teacher, a pastor, evangelist, a whole office was given to probably one of the most neglected gifts. Whole office. But yet then when he listed helps and governments, I always thought this is what helps was. When governments decided where to dig the hole, helps came and dug it. I was always helps. Yes. So helps and governments. And think it's just like one calling or something. But helps and governments are no more the one than apostle and prophet are one. You know, apostle / prophet / teacher / help / government. Governments goes from president down to the meter maid. president to the meter maid. But helps, it seemed to, by somebody that came alongside of means. Someone of means. I mean, there's a whole calling that, yes, that this person has a gifting. And when he gives it to God, it's that effective. That effective, but it's very seldom done, because that is one of the most powerful victories that can be attained in the body of Christ. Love of money being the root of all evil, meaning that root, it can feed anything you want to be or do. Or do you want the presidency? You got enough money? We can buy it. So the root of all evil, money. But then again, when it's totally sanctified, it can serve just as powerfully on the other side of the fence. There's not many entrepreneurs, because by the time they make the money, it makes them. I've probably got 100 promises of the big one throughout our ministry. How many came in? None. None. I got $1 million. I'm working on this deal. Oh, I got a few million in the bank, but I'm waiting for this one to come through. Oh, the first 15 times I waited with fish breath, or no, bated breath. I waited. I did. It almost destroyed me. You know, if you don't stop praying, pretty soon you find out that they're not your supply. When I stand before Him, I'd like to have a list of people I can blame. That entrepreneur you gave me. He says, who gave you? See, but yet there is a call. And that one's going to come forward too, because people are going to attain to this mortification that we're talking about. When He's done with you, you'll pick your cross up long enough to do something. Yes. Help/government. What do you think Jesus was talking about when He says, and when you give, don't do your alms before men to be seen of them? It's like the guy that only prays over the meals. Oh, dear God. Oh, if you could see it, we had clear to come. He's not praying to God. He's praying to be heard by the people. See? Well, there's a real status that can be attained to. And favor. Oh gosh, you want favor? You have 50,000, I can buy you on the most boards. But we decided to die to all that. We just don't. You can't keep praying to have that stuff hang on to you. He is your supply. And when He becomes that, then you start understanding verses like, He says, but when you give, you know, you don't do it to be seen of men. You don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I'm going, so how do you do that? He said, when you pray, enter your closet. Don't appear to men. When you fast, don't disfigure your face. Fall down on the floor every time somebody comes in. Start crawling and go, oh God, I can't do that. So I can enter a closet and shut myself down. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows when I'm praying or what. Just don't do it in public. You know. But what's his left hand? Go in the closet, slam the door on my left hand. Ah, oh my God. At least you can't see what I'm writing. What does it mean? One, it means that when it comes to giving, you can't trust your own flesh. And two, if the only time you give is when the flesh is involved and it's amongst those who see, and you can somehow benefit from it. See, this journey to making Him our source, it's why we're going to have plenty, not because it's a season or a time of our economy when there's plenty. We're going to get it done. Yes? Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to stand one more time. Let me recall this. While you were worshiping, I saw times that I saw Him visit many, many, many of you, and I know that it's not talking about just this service, but begin to visit many, many of you as you got free in certain areas and begin to produce fruit. That I saw it. And that's why I went off on that little teaching. It's not as far away as you think. And you know a real good defense for the devil is whenever he tells you you can't. Fall down on the floor laughing so hard you can't get up. I can tell you firsthand, he hates that. It burns him. He can't even stay around hardly.
You're not going to make it?
She ever told you that?
You stupid. What do you think you feel the way you do?
You don't. I got a list of penances for you before you even bother asking. You ever had him tell you that you're not good enough? You know, they tried to make you get good enough to get the Holy Spirit. When in reality, after you were born again, you needed Him to help you, not you Him. You think He came because you were perfect? He came because you wasn't. So He's more apt to answer your prayers into imperfection than when you think you are.
Well, this went wrong, that went wrong, and I missed prayer for a year.
Just shut up and finish the prayer. So throw those arms up and sing one more time. Hallelujah. Well, isn't it something we keep making the newspaper? I mean, they keep writing up about that the outreach to the poor, and they show up unexpected and they film what he's doing again. And I guess that God doesn't choose you because you're already a super church status as far as crowds go. Doesn't look like it. One thing I like about God is that when he begins to move, it has to be really because he could. And how many knows that the revival he gives us it's going to last until he returns. See? And that's one reason for reestablishing the foundation that he began establishing with us so many years ago about establishing the Holy Spirit as our teacher and a revelation gift. And when one of foundation was established and we begin to build on it, that when we conquered that place, then he could show us more and we'd go conquer that. So finally, we get to conquer the areas that's going to bring us from our foundation to building skyscrapers on it until he comes. Hallelujah. I don't know, maybe this morning we'll look at just maybe 15 minutes of a good qualifier for faith. Should we? Is it something I said? Hey, stand up, Rick. Oh, stand still, Rick. How many appreciate our drummer? You have beat your way into our heart. Okay. How about 1 Peter, 5th chapter will be good. All of it. Let's look at a little qualifier for victory and faith. And extend your faith this way. I haven't got to do this for a while. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for that great teacher, the person of the Holy Spirit, which you've given to us. We don't have to take the creeds and doctrines originating with men, because we have pure, undefiled access to the best that you have. The very best. We want you to know the earnest desire of our heart is to know truth. Teach us. Teach us. And for this, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's just begin with verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, not because you have to, it's my job, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Would you bring out that box of plastic wallets, please? Give me $100. Little merchandised one. And I'll give you a wallet that'll never be empty. Except when you get it. We're not supposed to take the oversight because of money. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. You mean we're not supposed to ultimate submission and playing God and stuff? Boy, you talk about big. That was big in Maine one time when I went up there for a revival. And this one woman I'm talking to, that, well, let's put it this way. She is crippled in one of her legs, and she came out to the meeting. And she got healed, but she was a little scared. So the reason she was scared, because she didn't ask permission for two things. She went to the library and she came out to our meeting, and she didn't ask permission, so she was just really fearful over it. Well, the library thing, you know what he did to her? The pastor turned her over his knee and whipped her, and she's a grown woman. So when she got healed, she's really afraid, but then she got bolder and ran back into the meeting and says, Look, she says, I got healed. Well, we're not supposed to, the super submission. How many members when that move came through? Oh, God, how many of you got caught in it? You didn't? Well, I almost did. No, I didn't. But we're supposed to take the oversight, not by constraint. Not as praying, I'm a mighty apostle, and I got multi-level apostles under me, and you're under them, and you're going to, that's what you're going to do. You're supposed to reign by example. Yes. Did you know Brother Hagin didn't make himself a prophet? The people did. In other words, he didn't jump up and declare one day, I am a prophet. God had to make him accept that office. And did you know you can't force people to respect you? That has to be given.
Yes.
It has to be given. You can't take it from somebody. Well, I'm a mighty nothing. One time it got going here. And somebody got up and took a whole service to establish the fact that I was an apostle. And one time a guy took a whole service to establish that Norval was an apostle. And I was sitting there listening to this guy, and I felt sorry for him because he killed the crowd. But anyway, they took the whole service, and I didn't mean this, mean or anything like that. I really didn't. And when he got done, I started quoting some verses about it. If you really got the revelation from heaven, why are you acting like it originates with you? There's only one teacher, one master, and that's Jesus Christ. So then I finally capped it with this, and believe me, I wasn't thinking of these things. He was. I said, okay. I'm not. But you can call me anything you want. But just don't give me a name that separates me from the people. Don't call me something like that. I don't want to be. See? And so when I said that, I thought, oh, man, I didn't even know I was going to say that. But we're not supposed to take the oversight by constraint or playing some kind of lord over you, but by example. Let's take this a little further, shall we? Before I get carried away. He goes on to say then, again in 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder, and yea, all you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. The way you subject to the teaching, the change, the things you know to the younger, and he submits himself for instruction to the elder. See? But he says, yet all you be subject one to another, and that's in the classification as servants to each other, and be clothed with humility. You know, I got an award for the most humble man of the year. When I accepted it, they took it away from me. Do you know who wrote Genesis? That's right. And he himself wrote he was the humblest man in the world. You think he had trouble with it? Right hand, right. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Whoa, if he gives grace to the humble, boy, I'd like to know how to humble myself, wouldn't you? Good thing there's a 6th verse. I want grace. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may, get this, him exalt you in due time. Meaning, boy, when that due time comes by, you're going up. How? Oh, the 7th verse, that's probably real easy. Casting what? that, how about half of them? I'm in the habit of casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. How about a better translation? Why don't you cast the whole of your care on him so he can lavish his care on you? I remember when the faith move got really strong on that. Hey, brother, take care. Excuse me, but no thanks. I don't take care. How many had that done to you? That was in the height of the confession days. But do you know what we really meant? We really meant take care. Be diligent to listen and do the things of God so you'll prosper. That's what we meant. Not law. Take care, brother. And that humble look drops on him. No, thank you. I'll not be weighed down by responsibility and disquieted by apprehension. Thank you. Gee, what did I say? What church you go to again? Look at this. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you. Due time, cast in all your care upon him so he can lavish his care on you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions were accomplished in your brethren which are in the world. And that's why he said to take the elders as an example. But he goes on to say, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he has mapped out a good time for you to have suffered and endured afflictions and can take it to use it as a teaching tool to trust you. What? Did I say something wrong or what? What does he say here? But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, make you perfect, establishes, strengthens, settles you. And this all takes place by his grace. Remember how much we yell about grace? He can trade those weaknesses of yours off for his grace. They can't be earned anyway, so get in the line. Well, he said, you'll cast a hold of your care on him so he can lavish his care on you, and he explains why. It's a devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking him whom devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Well, wait a minute. The instruction here was to cast a hold of my care on him. Then you mean the highest form of resisting the devil is getting rid of the care that makes you devourable? Whew. Oh my goodness. And the devil says, you're not going to make it.
What are you doing?
Stop it! Stop it! I had to leave. Oh, he hates that. Getting rid of the care that makes you devourable. Notice this, and the God of all grace, after you suffered. My burden was so heavy, I fell beneath the load. As you make your journey, put your hand close in mine. and follow close to me. How many remembers the era of those songs? You haven't heard that? Have you, Laura? Can you sing it? Come on, weary sheep, come and follow me, and follow close to me. Something like that. I'll have to admit I haven't listened to it in the last week or two. You notice he said, the God of all grace, grace. Unmeritable, unearnable favor after you suffered a while, established, strengthened, settled.
Why didn't he wait till after I suffered a while?
The reason he qualified himself there is the God of grace, because in reality, he jumped in a long time before he was supposed to. And if it hadn't have been for grace, I mean, here you are, a duck in a shooting gallery. You're trying to make it across the opening. You turn around and run the other way. And God steps in and says, I know by rights I'm not supposed to be stepping in, but he's taken a position of grace so you can just stop now and get out. He's cast his care on me, even though he don't know nothing about it or how to do it. You have to get out because your time is up. So you may think it went longer, but the God of grace, trust me when I say, he stepped in before he was even legally supposed to get you out of your problem. Why? Because somewhere back there, you started casting the whole of your care on him, was one of the highest forms of resisting the devil, that he might exalt you in your due time, taking the elders who were your examples as an example to know they came through all the hell, and so will you. Yes. Hallelujah. So, why don't you leave your cares in here, and the cleanup people will sweep them out. And get the God of all grace in your corner early.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen. Well, I don't know how to cast my care.
I know a lot of people are more professional at hanging on to them than casting them. And we don't need any testimonies about hanging on. But what you can do, as my singers come back up. Oh, I cast a hold of that care on him. Come back. Everybody, watch her. There she goes. Come on. Why don't you turn that stuff loose before you go, and with a high form of resistance. My cares, they used to drive a Ferrari. And I drove a Volkswagen. Now they drive a Volkswagen. I drive a Ferrari. Because I'd cast my cares and I'd jump in my Volkswagen and try to get home, and he'd beat me. And when I'd walk in the door, all my cares would jump on me again. I think we're supposed to leave them. But now I've got to, he came in one day. I just wrestled that Ferrari out of his hands. I took it away from him. Left him laying there, lacking oxygen under his Volkswagen. Now you know where my grandson gets being able to talk. So why don't we get up and just make a decision here? Hold on, this is a great joy for him to get grace from you, to be able to step in and you resisting the devil and get involved in your cares and eradicate them. And then the actual motor that's driving the care, he'll get rid of that. At first, he'll deal with your circumstances, and then he'll go kill the motor. But you have to let him. Look, take the elders as the example. The ones he talked about. Take them. Cast your care on him. Whatever it is that you need, it will turn and be herded in that direction. So the devil's walking about like a roaring lion, just looking for somebody. When does the flags go up? Some burden-ridden person, not trusting God, full of cares. Oh, God loves them. And the God of all grace wants to jump right in the middle of that thing and get you out. Do you hear me? So why don't you think for a minute? Then while we sing this song, you want to surrender anything to him. This is my suggestion. Surrender everything that's bothering you. And then anything in you that would keep you from receiving that teaching from him about walking there. Just surrender all of that. Let God of all grace step into your problem now. Now. So you go ahead as we sing. She's been in intercession. When you're in the genuine, sometimes you don't know what it is, hardly. And it's usually, he pulls you in close enough and your heart is crying and reaching for that's of God. Finally, in a true intercession, you'll get a look sometimes at how he sees the situation. And when you do, you go, oh my God. It gives you the faith you needed to walk on in, see. But then again, that's another teaching, isn't it? Hallelujah, Jesus. She's going through that now. She's been wondering the last couple of days. See, that change is going to be accompanied by a lot of change around her, too. See? Well, thank you with all our heart. My Father, she got what she came for. You're going to be just one glad camper. I should say 5 years from now, you'll look back and be a glad camper. And you know his hand's on you. Did you know there was praying in people when you were a child? You was about to get away. You know, I couldn't. I could not get away. See, my dad, he kind of abandoned me, but his dad was a preacher. My dad was a PK, I found out after I was grown. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, give this to him. Oh, can you see? Hey, what do you think you've been? I'm sorry, you don't have to stay standing. What do you think? What do you think about these last, especially 6 months? What do you think about them? That you've been seeing things you've not seen before. You feel like you understand things you hadn't understood before. And most of the time, when you do check them out, you find out they're right. It's already steered you out of a few messes. Well, do you know? You're not going to take the anointing and go cause somebody to believe something wrong with it. Because you are led like that. That's why he's going to give you more. Raise those hands up. What do you think's coming on you now? If not the more anointing. Jesus! The more anointing. Then she's not a more. She's more. That's him. Ooh. That's him. Jesus' name, Father. Stretch your big hand. You know, what a call. Funny in his mind how he could see everything way back before. You know, so I know what's growing on your tree. I know. You got something to find yet that he has for you. And did you know it has to do with a call too? It's great. In Jesus' name. Hey, you got prayer answered. All kinds of things while you've been here. Now you're going to go back and have a time of just walking in joy and stuff. Answers. Release your glory in her now, Father. In Jesus' name. So glad you came. You know, something way down in your heart, he's heard it. And he just wants you to know it's already yours.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's right. He loves that. Father, in Jesus' name.
Oh, Jesus.
You must get, something's coming forward, son, you know. Do you know, my generation and yours too, to some degree, do you know that it was a lot of praying parents and things that were holding on to what had happened at Pentecost and Azusa. And they prayed. They prayed for us. And you know, a whole lot of their prayers are being answered now. And that's your case too. You have a call. Oh, Thomas Casey. Oh, yeah. You think you don't? Yeah, you know he knows what's in your heart. Sometimes we wait. We wonder why he waits to let us know that he knows what's in our heart. It's a season. Looked like you were in, and then I saw a bigger season building. And the change that took place between those two is he's going to use the tar out of it in the next phase of ministry. So, hey, I've learned how to enjoy the purgings. Some of you act like you know what that means. Hey, why not? If he's really changing me, I'm going with it. Hallelujah. You know what God had to use on me to get these up here? When I first glanced over, he says, traveling mercies. And then I found out he snuck one in on me. He started talking. Hey, you're going to the same place we are. Higher. Do you know what? It's going to come there. You guys will be so busy. All of you. Okay, I saw a form of some form of media. Think. Okay. All right, if anybody did come in and you've traveled to get to this, why don't you stand up where you're at? Well, if I could see outside the church, it'd be more. All right, everyone. Over here and here and over here. So extend your hand towards them. And we're saying with our mouth that the angels that are assigned to this kind of thing are going to accompany you home. And accompany you around and follow you when you come back. Hallelujah, Jesus. So you're going to have a safe trip in Jesus' name, and you're going to be blessed. I envy him. Lost his bags on the plane and got to wear this outfit the whole weekend. I envy that. They make me put on long pants when I preach. Who's they? The conscience team. Listen. Thank you. Listen. I got to use you, Jason. If I get this wrong, tell me, because I don't want to keep repeating it wrong. Maybe not more than once or twice more. You got born again somewhere on a beach? At a church?
Yeah, in California.
In California. Then you came out of the church, and you'd been filled with the Holy Ghost, and came back to your car, and somebody had given you a tape.
I said, "Do you know who Pastor Dave is?"
They said, "Do you know who Pastor Dave is?"
And have you heard, here's the tape series on praying in tongues.
And here's a tape series on praying in tongues.
The night I got born again.
The night he got born again.
And I listened to it in my car for 2 hours.
And he listened to it in his car for 2 hours.
Went to the beach.
Went to the beach.
And walked the beach and prayed in tongues.
Walked the beach and prayed in tongues all night.
Uh-huh.
The entire night. That was his first night. Being born again. Now think. He that searches the heart knows what is the mind. That is his mind for him in this generation. The mind of the Spirit. And that enables the Holy Spirit, who knows that, to be able to make intercession for him according to God's will, which was what was in his mind. And now we know all things will work together for the good, that he who loves God and is called according to now, he's fulfilling the purpose of God. So when did he set that into motion, that first night on the beach? How many years ago? 15?
Yeah.
15 years. Come on. The devil will go into overtime to try to discourage you about praying. What do you think Gary was talking about? And he says he has never been fought. So he just, in those special teachings on the book of Ephesians, how many knows he was just getting right down and teaching the kind of emotional hell he can come against you with? Okay, he just says, "I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Thousands of fishhooks in my flesh trying to keep me from praying." When I first started praying in tongues, who likes to mow the lawn? Not me. But it would grow an inch an hour while I was praying. I had yellow under. I had to stop and go out and mow it. I finally figured out there's something supernatural about that. I'd even wash dishes. Some of you think, "Oh, I just had a good time the whole time." No, I was stubborn. Stubborn. Do you have a good time now? Yes, most of the time.
But I can't speak with tongues.
That's because you're in your chair and not up here on the green line. Have you ever heard that song? Get on the green line. Put your toes on the line. Make up your mind. There's nothing you can do.
So say, "I can't speak with tongues."
Come up. Does the line have anything to do with it? No, you coming up does. Come on. In Brazil, they got a little prayer center with a little green line. Pretty cute. Anybody? Anybody? Say, "Well, I don't know Jesus." We'll give you a chance to. Says you must be born again. Nobody's smart enough to figure out how to get us back. that God, because he said, the day you eat of that day you'll surely die. Death to us meant to cease to exist, but to God it simply meant that your spirit, which will live forever, was cut off from the life-giving presence of God. So now it's under a death penalty, and God's not a man that he can lie. So how's he going to get us back? I sent another Adam into this earth. Jesus. Whew. And he actually had us born again back out of the other family. Into his. That's why religion won't get you in. You must be born again. Who's that smart to actually have you born again back into his family? Only God.
Well, I don't know if I've been born again or not.
That's why you need to be up here making double sure. Are you here? All right. I'm going to let you go. Remember the normal announcements, calling in the lost and...